Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Save Game Chronicles, where two friends of over 20 years play a retro video game and then talk about it. And then we decide if the game is worth saving the progress or never coming back to it again. We are your hosts. I'm John, and this is...
And I'm Justin. Let me ask you a question, John.
Yeah.
When you think 3D platformer or action game, what do you think of?
I think of probably something like Spyro the Dragon.
Okay. What about Mega Man?
Not typically, no.
All right, well, I've got no way to segue that into another question, so I'll just tell the audience that that's what we did for episode 2 was Mega Man Legends. Originally released in 97 in Japan for the PlayStation 1 and 98 here in North America. I grew up playing the game, John did not. We alternate who chooses the game for what episode. This was my choice, and that's what I chose. So, John, first impressions of Mega Man Legends.
So, let's see here. I actually don't have much experience with Mega Man. I think I've only played one other game on the GameCube. I don't know. I went into this not knowing anything about Mega Man, basically. And I don't know, are you trying to ask me what are my first impressions of the game in general, or what do you mean exactly?
In comparison to other PS1, 3D, action-adventure type games, like you mentioned Spyro when I asked you what you'd think of, comparison in graphics or presentation, opening level, how would you rate it compared to Spyro?
I would say that the art style looks good, the mechanics are okay, but what I gotta say is I have an issue with the controls. I'll be honest, I hated the controls.
I can understand that. Just for this episode, again, we play the games or replay them if we haven't played them before recording the episode. So replaying the game, I forgot that it has no analog support. So you have to move in only four directions using the arrows of the original PlayStation controller. And you have to use the shoulder buttons to move the camera when you're not moving. You can turn the camera, but to turn Mega Man, he has to stand still. It's almost like dated tank controls.
Yeah.
And there is a lock-on button, but in the first game, at least, it does not function. It doesn't work. I will admit, choose the game out of pure nostalgia. My verdict will not be based on nostalgia, but I am nostalgic for the game, and I do love the game. I want everyone to know that.
You said this was like your favorite game?
Favorite game? I would say... one of my favorites growing up. It was one of those games where, growing up, when I play a game, I didn't pay attention to what was happening. I had fun playing it. I had no idea what the story was. I probably couldn't even tell you half the characters' names. I would just go to Blockbuster or Hollywood or Family Video, rent the game, and play it that weekend until we had to take it back to the store, and then rent it again the next week. It wasn't until my 20s I'd replay the game, and then I finally got what the story was about. It plays almost like a dungeon crawler. You go into the ruins, you find parts, money, upgrades, new weapons, and yeah, it's just good fun.
So you mentioned story. I'm curious, before we jump into it, what was it about the story when you were a kid? Did you not know what was going on? And what was it that like drew you to this game?
Honestly, I don't really think there was anything. I just liked playing the game. Probably a combination of how the game looked. You look back at a game you played as a kid, and it's like the smallest things will remind you of it, like sound effects or character models. And it's just, I like the look and the sound of the game, so I always went back to it. And I can't remember 100%, but I might have played the second game first. And then when I saw that it was a sequel, I wanted to rent and try the first game.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is, like all the Mega Man games, they're all connected to each other.
From what I understand loosely, you know, it's like the original Mega Man line, and then you got Mega Man X that I think is supposed to take place 100 years after. And as far as I know, Mega Man Legends takes place 3,000 years after that.
Was this the last, between this one and the second game, are these the furthest in the future?
As far as I know.
Okay.
It's not really that important. The stories are, for especially in Legends, pretty much self-contained. Like, yeah. I've been playing the game I've been playing them for over 20, 25 years, and I only recently found that out. So it's not something that's like totally necessary to the story.
I can give you my impressions of the story, and then I can just get your take on your replay of this story, you know. Which I guess we should back up is they got on the island because they crashed.
Yeah, at the beginning of the game, after you go through the tutorial level, something happens to the big airship that Mega Man and Roll fly in. I forget exactly what happens, but the engine room catches on fire and they have to crash land on Cadillac's Island, the island that you play the game on. As you land on the island, you learn that pirates have been targeting the island because of the ruins that are there. And the ruins are what these people call Diggers Explore, to find parts and artifacts in what's called refractors, which function as a major source of energy and, in this game's world, a form of currency.
The pieces that drop out whenever enemies die.
Yeah, the shard-looking things.
And then one thing for me is I just kind of grab the biggest ones. I don't really know what those... Like, what... I don't remember how much they were, like, each one's worth. Did you know, or did you...
Well, you are correct that the biggest ones are worth the most.
Yeah.
As far as I remember, I think like the largest ones, like the huge blue ones, are worth something like 1,100 zenny, I think, was the game's currency.
Yeah.
And the smallest shard is, I think, 10. And then it just ranges from there. And as you play the game, of course, upgrades. You can upgrade how big your life bar is. Like, if you want to take a recharge pack to refill your life bar. Or buy equipment to hook up to your main weapon to make it more powerful. Have more range. It gets more expensive as the game goes.
You know what's funny? Is I didn't even know about upgrades. Like, for probably the first 2 hours of the game. I was running around with the basic stuff you start off with. Yeah, because I think what happens, you have to like find the store owner in like one of the ruins towards like the very beginning of the game, and I just thought that was he was just an NPC. You find him and boom, you're done. I never knew there was a store for like the longest until I got to like probably the first boss, and I was like, wow, like this is really hard. I was really struggling, you know, using no upgrades, and I mean I'm pretty sure if I remember right. I'm pretty sure I beat the first boss with just, like, the general, like, the first, like, boss after, you know, after the tutorial level, you know, without any upgrades. And I was like, wow, this game's going
to
be hard.
You have to get the key to the city gate back from the serve bots. But after you do that, Tronbon comes out in her robot and attacks you.
I think I got stuck on those three. I thought the three were, like, the boss. So I guess they're just, those are what would be considered, like, a sub-boss then.
And... Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could consider him like a sub-boss before the boss. Something I always thought was hilarious was because of the way Tronbon's name is spelled. Is as a kid, I always pronounced her name Tronbone. I thought that's what it was supposed to be. And for years after I found out it was Tronbon, I just disagreed with the game's writing. I was like, that's not right. That must be lost in translation.
I thought it was.
Dude. No, it's Tronbon. Teasel Bon and Bon Bon.
Mm. I guess it's the Bon Bon. That makes sense.
Who is the youngest canonically? Bon Bon is 3 years old. Teasel, I believe, is 21 or 23, and Tron is 14.
Speaking of Teasel, I definitely thought his name was Diesel the entire time. Yeah, their naming schemes were interesting.
For anyone who doesn't know, who the characters we're talking about right now are the villains of the game. They are a pirate family.
And I would say that they were kind of like the comedic relief, would you say? I can't really consider them like real, like...
It's a kid's game, but they are pirates. with weapons and the blowing up of the city.
Oh, yeah. Wait, let's talk about that. Did you, and I know, I'm pretty sure you probably did. I feel like you've mastered this game. Did you, after, like, slight spoilers, I guess, the city does get, like, attacked in the very, like, towards the very beginning... And it gets like destroyed, and you can pay to like rebuild it.
It gets destroyed if you suck. You can beat the boss without any damage to the city whatsoever.
So, like, what happens if you don't have any damage to the city, and so there's nothing for you to repair?
There's, as far as I know, nothing for you to repair. There are still donations you can make to the mayor, but stuff for like side quests. Like, you can donate to upgrade the hospital's equipment to help a little girl who needs a special surgery to be able to walk again. And if you do that quest, you end up with a part to make the best sub-weapon in the game. Or I'm pretty sure if you get through it all without any buildings getting destroyed, you get a small boost to your morality, which is a hidden mechanic in the game. The lower your morality, Mega Man's armor will get darker. And the higher it is, it'll get a slightly lighter blue shade to it. And if it's higher, like lighter blue shade, you get up to 20% off discount in the game's stores and weapon upgrades from Roll, I believe. And the opposite is true if you have a negative morality and your armor is turning a darker tint.
Wow. How is it purely based off of side quests, which I guess I should also let you know, I didn't do too many side quests. So I guess I'm wondering, like, does, like...
I figured you wouldn't, just cause, especially if it's your first time playing the game today. The controls are definitely going to be a huge hang-up for anyone who tries it today. It's not just in the side quests. It's in everything that you do in the game. But it's not really... You would really have to try to get it to move in either direction.
Like, I don't remember there being any, like, bad... And I guess I'm going off of today's standards, but I don't remember there being, like, in-your-face, like, bad decisions.
There is a later side quest in the game where if you watch the TV in the Flutter, the airship they fly, at a certain point in the game, you'll see that the serve bots are in the middle of a police chase downtown. And you can go there and stop their car by shooting at it, making sure not to hit the cop car until they stop. And if you loot the back of the car, it's a case full of money. I think it's 200,000 zenny. And the police inspector will say, "Thanks, Mega Man, blah, blah, blah." If you talk to him, you'll give him the money and he'll give you 20,000 of it as a reward. If you immediately turn and walk through the gate and keep the money, you max out your negative karma and your armor looks like it's burnt. It just turns like dark brown.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I did not even realize that was a part of the game. You mentioned it earlier about controls, and I guess we could go into our gameplay segment. Yeah, it was hard for me to get over those controls. Part of the reasons why I didn't do it in the side quest is, it was very, very tank-like, but I don't know if it's just because I'm just used to using the analog or what the case is, but, like, I noticed that it was hard to turn. There was, the lock-on feature. It seems to...
The lock-on feature was tacked on. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed it works if the enemy is, like, stationary, but a lot of the times these bosses are, like, they're, like, moving, like, pretty crazy, especially, like, later in the game with those, they're, like, these wolves, like, robotic wolves. Like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you can't, like, yeah, that the lock-on just doesn't work at all.
More so for flying enemies, it's useless. Yeah, the game did come out, as far as I know, either right before or right after the first DualShock controller did. So it wasn't designed with that in mind. And I think it's just weird playing a fully 3D game with only four directional movements on a directional pad. It just didn't really work that well. So I could see why that would turn a lot of people off. I'm used to it because I played the game so many times. But it's definitely... Even I was getting a little frustrated... Because I did do all the side quests. I did everything in the game. This past playthrough that we did for the show. And I was getting angry. I've said some things I can't take back to my TV. Because one of the things I had to do to get a part for the weapon I was trying to get for the final boss was later in the game you can go to the TV station and do mini games to earn money. Once you get a part that lets Mega Man skate around at high speed, so you don't have to run everywhere anymore. Once you get that part, you can do time trial races at the TV station, and you have to beat every rank in every race. You can't make a single mistake in any of those races, or you go over the time limit. And I'm pretty sure as a kid, I probably broke a controller or two over it. It was pretty frustrating.
This game is like, I don't know, it's massive. Like, I guess, given the fact that I played the game, I want to say, like, the game time, like, total game time is, what, I'd say about 8 hours, I think, I played. But it seems like there is, like, a lot more to do. Like, what would you say, like, another, like, 8 more hours of the game? Like, how long did it take you to beat everything?
for me, someone who grew up playing the game and already knew where everything is in advance, how when certain side activities open up, my playtime was about the same, around 8 hours while doing everything. For a new player, I would say, yeah, maybe between 12 and 15 hours if they wanted to do and see everything in the game.
When was the last time you played this game? Because, before like playing, you know, these last couple weeks. When was the last time you played? Because it sounds like you remembered everything or you just knew where to go.
I think you're underestimating how much time I put into this game as a grade schooler. The last time I played it before we both played it for this show was probably right around 7 years ago. Because I replayed the second one at the same time, and that's when I bought another copy of the second one.
Nice. All right, so outside of the controls, I guess let's talk about the enemies. What's your take on like the enemies themselves? Like, I thought that they were pretty. I thought that some of them actually looked cool. Yeah, some of the enemies actually looked cool, but then there was a few that I thought they were kind of like vague. I wonder if that was by design.
So the thing about the Reaver bots, the name of the enemies we're talking about, is no one really knows what they are or where they came from, because it hasn't been answered in the games. I feel like the third game might have answered that, but that was canceled years ago, kind of. So growing up, I thought they were really cool. They creeped me out. Nobody knows what they are, where they came from, who made them. And some of their designs, even today, are still cool. Some are ridiculous. You know, it's Capcom. So, especially if you play Resident Evil, you can get that feeling.
And, like, you know what? One thing I did notice is, what are they called? The little Lego people? Like, I don't remember their names.
Serve bots.
Is that what they're called? There's the serve bots, and then there's the
Reaver bots.
Yeah, so like, I guess
Reaver,
like,
the bots are the non-talking enemies in the ruins.
Okay, and then
so serve bots are the little yellow, okay, Lego-looking things that Tron built.
All right, yeah. So those guys I thought was pretty cool. Like the serve bots, the little Lego people. Though, like, I like their design. They're really fun.
They're everywhere. Even though Mega Man Legends was never really that big.
That's where I was going. I remember playing Dead Rising, and I remember seeing like those like the little Lego people heads, the serve bots, like heads, and I was like, "Oh, what is that all about?" And I didn't know that was a Mega Man thing.
Yeah, as far as I know, it was pretty much a mascot for Capcom for a while.
Really? Yeah, and I thought they fit very well with the bosses, and I think I feel like they fit well with the characters. I also want to say Bon Bon, Teasel, and Tron. I think their designs look great. Like, I have to say that the art style is amazing, or at least the designs for a lot of the characters. It made me actually like enjoy the like style of the characters. I liked learning about more about their histories. Teasel's voice actor, I don't know who he is, but
Teasel's hilarious.
I gotta say that like that voice actor was just, it was perfect. That is probably my, like, that voice actor is my, like, the whole, that whole, his whole character was my favorite. It was my favorite.
Fun fact, the voice actress that played Bon Bon, who people who have not played the game don't know, doesn't speak, only makes noises, is the same voice actress that voices Pikachu in Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know if I'd say the game's fully voice acted, because there's a lot of text boxes, but
yeah.
It's definitely the first Mega Man game to have this much voice acting. Like, X4 had English voice acting, but it was really only like small, maybe 2 minute long scenes here and there. All of Mega Man Legends has cutscenes with voice acting. Yeah, as far as I know, it was pretty much the first one in the series. And all of it is passable, but especially the whole Bon family is just, it's excellent.
But since we're already here, I'm wondering, so what, like, I want to talk about the music now too. Music, the sound effects. It was like the mall.
The,
like,
shopping center.
Yeah, I liked that music.
The piano.
It was very catchy. Like, that was, I gotta say that, like being in that area, I actually enjoyed it. I was thinking to myself, like, wow, like, this is a really catchy song. I really like this song.
What about entering the main gate? I can't describe it, but it's like I'm at the main gate.
Oh, you're talking about the main gate as
at the bottom is the final boss.
Oh, all right, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it definitely feels like you're at the end. I gotta say that the music, though, there was some stuff that is just, I honestly will say, like, it's forgettable. There was also a lot of things that I thoroughly enjoyed. The character's voice acting is great. The sound is, like, sound effects are good. Mega Man, like, shooting is like, that's mm-hmm. good. Like, I gotta say, though, like, sound was great. Like, you can definitely tell this is a Capcom game. You know, someone, like, a company they had a pretty good budget. I don't remember what the budget was for this game. But you can definitely tell that they put their hearts into, like, the sound and music.
For clarification, we did play the PlayStation 1 version. The game was ported to the Nintendo 64 in 2000, I believe. I could be wrong on the date. That version, the sound was heavily compressed. And I don't know if you ever went to a part in the shopping part of the game. You can go to a CD store and listen to sample music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was cut from the 64 version.
Wow.
they couldn't fit the sound files on the cartridge.
And that's just, based probably on the mechanics of the cartridge versus a CD.
From what I've heard, because I've never played the 64 version, but I've read about it, is the sounds are worse, but there were some visual effects that were actually improved over the PS1 version. I can't comment on that because I've never played it. But as far as I'm concerned, the PS1 version is the better version.
On versions, you make it seem this is... I know this is definitely a cult classic, some might call it. A lot of these classics are getting, like, remakes and, you know, like, ports into, like, modern systems and things like that. Are there any other ports outside of... That you know of? I know, I forgot.
I think Mega Man Legends 1 and 2 both had PSP ports, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Hmm. As far as any hope for a re-release, I doubt it. It seems like Capcom not only just doesn't care about the games. Last I heard, they wouldn't even be able to release them digitally because they don't have the rights to the voice performances anymore. So they would either have to remove all the voice acting from the game or re-record it entirely, which would be very expensive to do. But I'm not sure how true that is because The Misadventures of Trombone was released digitally on PS3. I own it. It's a spin-off that takes place, I believe, a year before Mega Man Legends 1 that features the entire Bond family and the same voice actors. So I'm not sure how it works really, but no, I don't believe the games will ever be ported to anything else or re-released.
Do they have any customization for Mega Man? Because I just, when we were talking about ports, it just reminded me. I remember before I started the game, I did a YouTube like lookup, and then I came across a video of like Mega Man Legends, and he had a helmet on.
You not find the helmet in the game?
No, where is it at?
I don't know
it's a spoiler.
No, it's okay. Not a spoiler. I mean, the game's small enough. Like, it was like, okay, press start. That's a spoiler. But pretty much immediately after you save City Hall towards the beginning of the game, and then you go behind City Hall, and there's like tanks in the woods. There's trash cans in certain parts of the woods. One of them has the safety helmet.
Mm.
You take it to Roll and she turns it into your helmet. You just equip it from your inventory. And all it does is sometimes if you get hit hard enough, Mega Man will be sent flying. And he'll take a lot of extra damage if he lands on his head. The helmet not only protects you from the damage you would take if you land on your head, it also prevents it from happening as often.
Wow, putting safety into the game. There's a lot to this game. That's pretty cool.
As a kid without the helmet, I can't tell you how many times I would be on one hit point left. Like, okay, I got to get up once he recovers from this attack, and then I'd see him lean back, and I know he's gonna land on his head. And then it just fades into a game over.
Speaking of game overs, we gotta talk about it. The difficulty. I don't know if it was just me not upgrading properly, especially in the very beginning when I didn't even know I could upgrade, but what is up with that difficulty? You have one life. If you lose, it's game over. You go back to where you last saved. They have bosses, like, that you fight in a row. Like, it's not just like a like your typical like end game boss where you fight multiple bosses in a row. Like, no, there's a regular bosses and there's no like safety net in between. It's like, boom, you hit with the boss. Hope you have enough health for the big boss. That was I got a game over a lot with this game.
I think a lot of that is due to the controls. As a kid, I got stuck on every boss that the game has. I would get past it, get stuck in the next one immediately. Now, I don't have trouble with any of them, including the final boss. But, especially if it's your first time playing like it was yours, the final boss does hit very hard. Especially if you don't have the best armor in the game. Yeah, I mean, you're talking half your health gone with one hit. So, yeah, it's a big spike, too. Like, the difficulty of the game's final boss compared to the rest of the game it's a whole different league. So, yeah, especially if you're new to the game, you haven't played it before, or it's been since you were a kid, since you've played it, and you're thinking about replaying it, accept the fact that you're going to rage a bit. That's all I can say.
And you should also not be like me and make sure you do the side quests, because those give you items that are very useful. Because I found out, without going into too much detail about the final boss, I did beat him, but wow, that was insane. I definitely had to put the controller down a lot of times, especially at that end part of the game. And the difficulty just was massive. It was a massive hike. Yeah, this game is definitely, as far as difficulty, be prepared. Like, I wouldn't quite call it Dark Souls like difficulty, but it is. It's there, especially for your casual gamers or, you know, first-time players.
You had to bring in the Dark Souls comparison.
It wasn't quite there. I beat it in a week, and it was. I'm gonna lie. It was pretty hard, which I think has a lot to do with the fact that I did not do any of the side quests.
I think, without spoiling anything, what were your thoughts on the ending of the game? Because anyone who hasn't played the game before, it does start out kind of bare bones in story. But it takes a pretty hard left turn towards the end of the game, and you get a lot of revelations. What were your thoughts?
There's a change. There's a change in like the pacing of the story, the pacing of... It seems like there's like a lot. It's like a huge twist. It's a very cartoony game to a story that was...
It's kind of like you get red-pilled halfway through it.
Yeah, like it was a little bit... I don't want to call it darker. Actually, I do want to call it darker. You go from this like fun, lighthearted, like semi, like, oh, pirates trying to destroy the city. It's kind of goofy.
Fun, lighthearted.
Well, yeah, but it's fun and goofy. And then like... To like all of a sudden, like, it's dark. Like, I was not expecting that change in tone. And I can see that was their way of like opening up to like a sequel, or at least I'm guessing. I never played the sequel, but I can see that was their aim, was to kind of shift like shift their momentum into like, hey, this is the story's bigger than what we've expected, than what we've like given you so far.
Right. And as you started saying, like, leading into a sequel, I was just about to jump in and start talking about the sequel, because that down the line may be a game that I choose for us to cover.
Okay.
I will say, controls-wise, vastly improved over the original. There's analog support, you can change the controls, and the lock-on is useful. So that's a good point right there, right off the bat. And that's all I'll say until we actually do cover that game.
Oh, so that's a little spoiler for the future, huh?
Not a spoiler. Little bit of a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler, it's a premonition.
It's a podcast enhancer. We've pretty much talked about everything we can talk about the game without spoiling anything story-wise. Because the game is only over 25 years old. So if anyone does want to play it at some point, we don't want to spoil anything, you know. Give them your chance. So we're just going to jump right into it. John, is this game a save or a shelf?
Oh, okay. So I have a feeling I know what you're gonna pick.
You know it, baby.
and I'm assuming without take nostalgia glasses off. Me not having any to begin with, I have to point out, yes, to the controls. I don't like them. It made the game very unfun. It was hard to say that I had fun fighting, doing the, battles, boss fights. We didn't talk about it, but there was the whole boat section where you have to fight.
Another part I got stuck on for weeks as a kid.
Yeah, those controls were, it was difficult. And it's not even so much that it was, that it's difficult. It's more so like the controls give the game an extra difficulty oomph. I got game over a lot of times, and I got very frustrated very often. But I also want to point out that there was a lot of stuff that I did appreciate about the game. The art's great for a PS1 game. The art's great. Characters, the voice acting, I gotta say that the characters are memorable. The voice acting's great. But, well, I mean, I struggled because I did not know what I wanted to give, if I wanted to save this game or shelf it. And I thought about it, and I was hoping, while we were talking about it, it would give me more, happiness or satisfaction with the game. But I don't think I can save it. I can't. The controls are just too difficult, and it just makes the game, for me, not fun. Maybe I'm just not good, but maybe that might have been the problem. But yeah, I wanted to rush through the game, which is why I didn't play the side quest, because I didn't enjoy the controls. And so yeah, I'm not saving the game. I'm gonna have to put it on the shelf.
Well, I have two ratings for this game. One would be an enthusiastic save right out of the gate, no questions asked, and that's with the nostalgia glasses. Without, it's a hesitant. It's still a save, but it's barely. Because the controls are just so outdated, and it will be a deal breaker for a lot of people trying to get into it. It just doesn't work that great in a fully 3D game. And I think that was part of the reason it was ported to the Nintendo 64, and it was a big selling factor, was the joystick on the 64 controller. And story-wise, I love the ending. It makes you want a sequel. It makes you want to see what happens and play more. But it takes until you get to that ending to get to the point where you even care about the story at all. So, it is a save for me. It's still fun for me. I think it'll be fun for a lot of people. I give it a save.
What that means is we have a difference of opinions. And in order for the game to be a save for the podcast, we both have to agree. So, Mega Man Legends is unfortunately a shelf, and that's just the way it has to be.
Well, anyway, moving on. Yeah, John, why don't you go ahead and tell the people what our third episode will cover?
Our third episode. Oof. Well, the game that I'm going to choose for our next episode is a game that I've never played. And I don't really know much about it, except for it has a lot of, I guess you'd call it sequels. I don't know if you ever played it. The game that I'm going to choose came out in the year 2002. And the game is called Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus.
I have played it. When it came out. For maybe an hour or two. I've never beaten it, and I've never owned it. So, looks like I'm buying a game.
I think you could probably get it on the PlayStation store.
Maybe. I know it was same with Ratchet and Clank and Jak and Daxter. It was compiled for a remaster on the PS3, so it's not like it'll be hard to get.
All right, listen to us next time as we explore Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus. We've been your host, John, and
I'm Justin.
Until next time, this has been Save Game Chronicles. Cue the outro.